Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om 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 Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tyaktva Swadharmam Charanambujam Hare. Bhajan apatvo tapatit tato yadi. Yatva kwa vabhadrama buddha mushya kim.
Yatva kwa vabhadrama buddha mushya kim.
Kovarta apto bhajatam swadharmataha.
Kovarta apto bhajatam swadharmataha.
Tyaktva swadharmam charanam bhujam harir.
Tyaktva swadharmam charanam bhujam harir.
Bhajan apakvo tapati tato yadi.
Bhajan apakvo tapati tato yadi.
Yatra kva vabhadrama buddha mushya kim.
Yatra kva vabhadrama buddha mushya kim.
Ko varta apto bhajatam swadharmata.
Ko varta apto bhajatam swadharmata.
Chaktva.
Having forsaken.
Swadharma.
Swadharma.
One's own occupational engagement. Charanam bhujam, the lotus feet,
Hare,
of Lord Hari. Bhajan, in the course of devotional service, apakvaha, immature, atta,
for the matter of
patit,
falls down
tatoha,
from that place
yadi,
if
yatra,
whereupon
qua,
what sort of
va,
or
Used sarcastically. Abhadra.
Unfavorable.
Abhut.
Shall happen.
Amushya.
Of him.
Kim.
Nothing.
Ka va artaha.
What interest?
Apta
obtained.
Abhajata
of the non-devotee.
Swadharmataha,
being engaged in occupational duty.
One who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage, yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. Purport. As far as the duties of mankind are concerned, there are innumerable duties. Every man is duty-bound, not only to his parents, family, members, society, country, humanity, other living beings, the demigods, etc. But also to the great philosophers, poets, scientists, etc. It is enjoined in the scriptures that one can relinquish all such duties and surrender unto the service of the Lord. So if one does so and becomes successful in the discharge of his devotional service unto the Lord, it is well and good. But it so happens sometimes that one surrenders himself unto the service of the Lord by some temporary sentiment. And in the long run, due to so many other reasons, he falls down from the path of service by undesirable association. There are so many instances of this in the histories. Bharata Maharaj was obliged to take his birth as a stag due to his intimate attachment to a stag. He thought of this stag when he died. As such, in the next birth, he became a stag. Although he did not forget the incident of his previous birth. Similarly, Chitraketu also fell down due to his offenses at the feet of Shiva. But in spite of all this, the stress is given here to surrendering unto the lotus feet of the Lord, even if there is a chance of falling down. Because even though one falls down from the prescribed duties of devotional service, he will never forget the lotus feet of the Lord. Once engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, one will continue the service in all circumstances. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that even a small quantity of devotional service can save one from the most dangerous position. There are many instances of such examples in history. Ajamila is one of them. Ajamila in his early life was a devotee, but in his youth he fell down. Still he was saved by the Lord at the end. Chaktvasvadaramam chadanam bujam harer bhajana pakvo ta patitato yadi yatra kvava badrama buddha musya kim kovarta apto bhajadam svadaramataha. What is being discussed here, the idea here, is making a commitment to Krishna's service, actually taking a risk for Krishna. We are very timid. We cannot imagine to take the risk of abandoning our comfortable situation, our routine life, especially the shelter of our family and friends, of our society. If I act too much like a Vaishnava, my friends will reject me. My parents will make life difficult for me. My wife and children won't like it. I cannot dress like a Vaishnava. You know, I have to satisfy everyone in this material world. Therefore, I cannot dress like a Vaishnava. I cannot act like a Vaishnava. I cannot take the time to do the duties of a Vaishnava. This is timidity. We're being cowed. We're being harassed and cowed into fearful submission by the material energy. So we have to become courageous to make a stand, to make a commitment for the service of Krishna, to take a risk. Narada is saying this, that Vyasadeva should encourage people to do this, to take the risk of going directly into Krishna consciousness. Go ahead and abandon your material duties. Krishna will protect you. Not saying that we should sentimentally, on a moment's sentiment, take advantage of the convenience of becoming irresponsible and running away from our family and other responsibilities in the name of renunciation, when we're not prepared for that. Now, this must be done under expert guidance, just like a serious medical procedure has to be done under the guidance and shelter of the doctors. Otherwise, you can do very great harm to yourself. The effects will be opposite, can be life-threatening. Similarly, premature renunciation, jumped into on a whim, will have the opposite effect desired. Raghunath Das Goswami, one of the most renounced devotees who we know in history, in recorded history. Krishnadas Kaviraj says, the taste for sense gratification never touched the tongue of Raghunath Das, even though he was married to a young girl who was more beautiful than the goddess of fortune. He was not at all attracted to her or to his family life. And he tried, against the desire of his parents, to leave home to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He tried many times. And they dragged him back by force. They sent armed men to capture him and keep him tied up so he would not run away. Once he ran away and he met Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised Raghunath Das, although he is certainly renounced, but to set an example for others, he told him, Markata Vairagya Nakoro Lokadikaya. Don't make a false show of renunciation just to impress outsiders, to impress the world. Sannyas is a good business. In India, even today, a sannyasi will attract so many followers and respect. A sannyasi can collect a lot of money just by wearing the sannyas dress and walking around. And they can say anything and do anything, and people will throw money at him and bow down at him. But don't make a false show of renunciation just for the acclaim of the cheap public. Lokadekaya, markata vairagya nokoro. The words he used are, don't become a monkey sannyasi. The monkeys in the jungle are living in the trees. They're living in the jungle, up in the trees. Just like sannyasis who have abandoned the cities and gone to the forest. But what is their business? Jumping from one tree to the next, having sex with all the females. Don't become that kind of sannyasi. You go to Vrindavan, and then you're consorting with widows in the name of renunciation, wearing saffron and having illicit sex. You've left your family, your religious wife and children, and now you're having sex, illicit sex with widows in Vrindavan. What is this? This is not renunciation. So Narada is not intending to encourage that kind of false renunciation. But as appropriate, under the careful guidance of one's spiritual master, one should be ready to make a serious commitment for Krishna. However, is required and appropriate. Whatever Krishna needs, whatever you can do for Krishna, you should be ready to take the risk. Even if you fail, what is the harm? We shouldn't be timid, thinking, what will happen if everything is not exactly in place, if everything isn't exactly planned out, and I don't have a schedule for the rest of my life to tell me what's going to happen to me. Then how can I take the risk? Take the risk. Krishna is in control. You don't need to have material security. The only security we need is Krishna. Krishna rakshishyati iti vishvaso. This is the sign of taking shelter, is to trust that Krishna will protect. What other protection do we really have? Deha patra kalatra adishu atma sainyeshu asatsvapi tesham pramatta nidanam pashanapi napashyati. Yes, we have a duty to our family, but don't expect that they can save you from the clutches of the Yamadutas. When you're helpless, when you're sick, old, and dying, your family will not be able to stop that. No matter how much they love you and how much support they try to give you, when it comes time to leave your body, you have to go alone. Atma Sainyes, this is my army, my family, my friends, my followers. But when you're actually helpless, they can't protect you. Fallible army. Asatsu api. Atma Sainyesu asatsu api. You've amassed a vast army of family, friends, and followers. You've got 56 grandchildren and 2,000 employees and hundreds of thousands of well-wishers. But when you're actually desperate and helpless, they won't be able to do anything for you. You contract leukemia, they can't save you. Even all the doctors in the best hospitals, they may have only a slight chance of saving you. So we should take shelter of the personality of Godhead. Depend on Him. Take the risk. What's the harm, even if you fail? Even if you fail at trying to be Krishna's fully surrendered devotee, there is no harm. Bhajan apakvota, even if while still apakva, immature, kacha. If you fall down, then what's the harm? I think in Kannada, kai is the word for uncooked vegetable. And then something else, some other word when it's cooked. Yeah, then it becomes palya, then it's cooked sabji. Like that. You may still be a raw eggplant. You know, kacha bacon. And you may finish your life still raw, half cooked, uncooked. What is the harm? You made some attempt to take the risk to serve Krishna. So Narada thinks, what's the harm? Even if you fall, even if you have a disastrous, scandalous fall, what is the harm? Better that some service was done, that the risk was taken. If the soldiers risk their lives in battle and then lose their lives, they're glorified. And according to the Dharma Shastra, the Kshatriyas who died in battle, they go to heaven. They get great benefit. The Karmakandis have to struggle to go to heaven. They may have to spend many lifetimes performing yajna. The Kshatriyas can do it in a few minutes just by getting killed in battle. So what's the harm if you're shot down in the course of trying to execute Krishna's devotional service? And on the other hand, Narada says, and what's achieved? If you're a very pious man, you're doing all your proper duties, you're a paka Brahman, a well-cooked Brahman, you know, roasted, toasted, you know, garnished with dhania and ready to serve, but you're not a devotee. You're not willing to take any risk for Krishna. You're ensconced in your fortress of your proper pious life. Surrounded by your family, friends, followers, and reputation. And even, you know, your religious leader has given you diksha and giving so many blessings to you, and you're giving him so much money and he's happy with you. Everyone's happy. But what have you accomplished? If you haven't served to Krishna, if you haven't taken the risk of giving your life to Krishna, nothing is accomplished. Kovarta apto. What is there al-arta of any substance that's been achieved if you haven't done the worship of Krishna? Even though you're following externally all your prescribed duties, you're doing all the puja. But there's a difference between puja and bhajanam. Narada is using the term bhajan twice. Bhajan and abhajatam. Worshipping and not worshipping. You can do heaps of puja. You can donate 25 lakhs, you know, to perform, you know, dashakoti nam yagya. And they will bring in truckloads of tulsi leaves and chant. They'll hire 108 brahmanas to come and chant Vishnu Sahasranam for 12 days until they finish 10 million names. You'll do great puja. But if you don't, if you haven't taken any real risk, you've got crores in the bank and you spent 25 lakhs on Krishna, big deal. You know, you're given less than 1% of your assets to Krishna. So what? What kind of risk is that? You've done it as a business investment. Just like you spend, you know, you spend loads of money on advertising in order, because you know it'll bring in customers. So now you're spending a little money on Krishna in the name of puja as a business investment. Don't think you're going to be saved by that. Anyway, so what harm is done, even if we fail in the attempt of Krishna consciousness? So maybe we can see the history of ISKCON in this light. Even so many devotees have fallen down, still their lives are glorious. They've, despite all odds, despite bad background, lack of spiritual training for most of their young lives, they've come to Prabhupada as adults, with no proper training, and they've made every attempt to surrender with all enthusiasm and determination, and maybe they fell down after some years. Still, it's glorious. We should not think that ISKCON is useless because so many devotees fall down. So many people that would never do any service to Krishna have been engaged. Prabhupada has been so liberal to engage anybody who's willing to take a chance. No matter what a rascal he is, Prabhupada always accepted the service. Anyone who was willing to come and serve Krishna. Because every living being, at least every human being, has the adhikar to serve Krishna. No one can be denied. No. You're not fit to serve Krishna. Go and become some worshiper of a demigod because you're not fit to serve Krishna. We cannot say that. How can the guru, taking the responsibility to save the whole world, how can he turn anybody away? So, people came who were not extremely fit. They made an enthusiastic attempt, and maybe many of them failed after some time. But what is the harm? It would be better if nobody ever fell down, of course. It would be better if we could win the war without one casualty. But in the real world, it doesn't happen like that. Unless your army is so perfect, so powerful, that you can defeat your enemies without one of your soldiers dying. We can try to become that well-trained and powerful. But until we do, we have to expect casualties. It's natural. You know, Krishna could stand up
He and his brother were the few soldiers against the vast armies of Jarasandha and come back out unscathed, not one drop of blood shed, and every one of the Akshawanis, or 18 Akshawanis of Jarasandha, wiped out, decimated. Actually, not decimated. Decimated means 1/10 of the soldiers are killed. 100% killed. 10 times decimated. Entire army of Jarasandha wiped out, and several times it happened. 16 times? Anyway. And Krishna and Balaram walked away, and most of their soldiers walked away unharmed. If you're that powerful, if you're that perfect in Krishna consciousness, if ISKCON becomes like that, then of course, no, we won't see devotees falling down, or very rarely. But that we have to train up to reach that status. That should be our goal. Devotees should be so well trained, so spiritually powerful, that Maya can not come near them. But it won't happen without very serious endeavor and very good training. Education, spiritual education has to be there. If you don't go to school, you won't learn anything. So if you don't get spiritual education, you won't be very strong in Krishna consciousness. We have to arrange and provide this education and train up our devotees to be very potent. Then we can stand up and defeat our enemies, or defeat Maya, with minimum casualties. Anyway, that is our goal, but until it's accomplished, we can expect that devotees will sometimes fall down. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments?
How do we know that we are not falsely trying to be renunciate? At the same time, we are taking risk for Krishna.
That, like I already said, that decision to renounce something should be done with the guidance of spiritual master or responsible, mature representative appointed by spiritual master. Diksha guru, shiksha guru, counselor, advisor should be consulted before making a major change of life that involves renouncing. Yeah. Even Prabhupada, before taking sannyas, before leaving his family and taking vanaprastha, he consulted with his godbrothers, with Bhakti Rakshaka Srinar Maharaj and others, took their advice, took their encouragement. Prabhupada wanted to immediately take sannyas because he Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati appeared repeatedly in dreams to him, telling him, come, take sannyas. And he went to the room of Bhakti Rakshaka, who was living in the upstairs apartment of the house that Prabhupada had rented. He knocked on the door in the middle of the night, Prabhupada, and asked Sridhar Maharaj, please give me sannyas immediately. Our guru has appeared in the dream and told me I must do this. But Bhakti Rakshakam Sridhar Maharaj told him, no, don't be so hasty. No. Anyway, I'm an old friend of your whole family. If I give you sannyas now, there'll be so much trouble. The family will make so much disturbance. So you just wait a little bit. The time will come. So Prabhupada took that guidance. Now, he didn't just on his own decide to take sannyas. He took guidance from his godbrothers. Like that, when we're wondering, should I make a change in my life toward renunciation? We should take counsel, and under the guidance of senior devotees, especially your own gurus, you should make that decision. Okay.
Yes. Somebody, not like the person,
He's not which with the guru? I just can't hear the word, yeah.
Somebody, yeah. Not actually the guru. He's not touching the guru, any guru.
He has no guru.
Expecting any guru.
He doesn't.
He has not accepted any guru.
Not accepted any guru, yes.
And he is chanting Hare Krishna mantra and doing puja, all these things, he is following his proper solution and regulation.
Yes.
So whatever the, his life,
he's not completed the program of Krishna consciousness without taking initiation. You should get a guru. Because without guru, we don't have secure understanding. Our understanding is doubtful until we take guru. The guru opens our eyes so we can see things correctly. Without the guru, maybe we know, maybe we don't know correctly. But when we have guru, then we can be sure. Acharyavan Purusho Veda. So the devotee who doesn't have a guru, he should think that it's very important that he has to get a guru. Why not? You're chanting. You're doing your worship in the house. Why don't you have a guru? Especially you're doing puja. You're not supposed to do the puja of Vishnu without mantra. And for mantra you need diksha. You need guru. You want to worship Krishna in your house, you should take initiation to do it properly. Without initiation, you should not even do puja. And more importantly, without initiation, you don't have an official connection with Krishna. Krishna can save you, but no guarantee. But you have guru, then Krishna has to save you. Then there's a contract. Without the contract, Krishna might give mercy, might not. But a contract is there, diksha, and you follow the contract, then Krishna has to give mercy. So that devotee, he should take diksha. He should find a guru. Okay? He can wait some time. But Prabhupada said if you wait more than 7 years, then you're a Shudra. If you take wait more than 7 years to get initiation, then you're a Shudra. So one wants to be proper Vaishnava, he should take initiation. Don't wait too long. Maximum is 7 years, normally.
But he's thinking, I'm not qualified.
That is a poor excuse. If he's chanting Hare Krishna, then he's qualified. Unless he's breaking the regular, if he's not following regulative principles, he's eating, doing illicit sex, eating meat, cannot follow 4 regulative principles, then he has to wait. That's okay. But not this humility, I think I'm not qualified. You're not ready if you cannot follow 4 regulative principles. And you should not take initiation until you can. 4, not 3, not 2, but 4. All 4 regular principles, including grihasthas. No illicit sex. Then you take initiation. Okay, that's the only excuse. Otherwise, no excuse. I'm chanting Hare Krishna, chanting 16 rounds, following 4 regular principles. Why am I unqualified to take initiation? Maybe I'm not ready to take sannyas. Maybe I'm not ready to take disciples. But to become a disciple, that's the qualification. Chant 16 rounds, follow 4 regular principles. If you're doing that, then why not take initiation?
So once he giving diksha,
yes.
Then he don't know, he forget all this thing, his name, disciple's name, and once he met the rest of the other.
You need 2 things, diksha and shiksha. You need someone to give you instructions. The shiksha guru and diksha guru may be the same person.
or they may be different people. But if the Diksha Guru cannot give you instruction, then he should appoint someone else to give you instructions. You need to be taught the principles. So some devotees has to be your Shiksha Guru. You need at least two gurus. Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru, although they may be the same person. You need instruction. Not only just name, mantra, but you need teaching. You need to be taught. So the Diksha Guru may not be able to do that, but he can appoint another person to do it. It must be done. Shiksha, instruction must be there. Serious devotee, senior devotee, who knows? One who knows can teach somebody else. So you have to be able to associate with devotees, some devotee who can give you guidance. Without that, without a devotee to give you shiksha, Krishna will send. You know, or you have to look and Krishna will help you find. You know, I can't tell you which person, I can't tell you the name. Who your Shiksha Guru is, I don't know. But Krishna will send. Different kinds of Shiksha Guru. One person may give you some guidance. Another person, you believe everything he says. And you take him seriously, just like Diksha Guru. You know, completely Guru, not just casual advice. So there's different kinds of Shiksha Guru. The Shiksha Guru just someone who gives you some advice. Another person who gives complete guidance to you. Anyway, we need minimum guidance. We need to be trained in the principles and the methods of devotional service. Many devotees can do that. Prabhupada has created thousands of devotees who are fit to be Shiksha Guru. We shouldn't think, oh, we have 75 gurus in ISKCON. No, we have 10,000 gurus in ISKCON. You know, many Shiksha gurus, many devotees qualified to do this work. If you're living in a place where there's no devotee, go to a different place where there's some devotees. ISKCON devotees, we have so many, all places in the world. You know, you don't have to leave your state. In Karnataka, there are so many qualified devotees. Or wherever you are, from Orissa. So many devotees in Orissa who can give you guidance. Maybe you have to leave this village and go to another place where there's more devotees. But you'll find. And take guidance. But from devotees who are mature, you know, who are practicing rightly and know Prabhupada's books, then they can give guidance. And Diksha Guru should give permission. Yes, you can take guidance from this devotee. Then you're secure. Diksha Guru may be far away, but he says, yes, this devotee can guide you. You listen to him. Then everything is okay. Okay. Hare Krishna. Yes, please.
You gave this example of contract. If you follow the vows of initiation, it's like a contract. If the initiation from the guru,
yes,
it's like a contract between you and Krishna first. So, but we have another statement that Krishna is bound only by love and devotion. How to match those two things? Not like contract and devotion.
Because Prabhupada is the one who's establishing this contract for us. He's our founder Acharya. And Prabhupada is controlling Krishna by his pure love. Krishna is obliged to accept our service because Prabhupada is asking Krishna to do it. When Prabhupada gave his disciples initiation, and when his disciples are giving initiation on behalf of Prabhupada, Krishna is entering into a contract with Prabhupada. Okay, these are your followers. You're recommending them to me
I have to accept. Krishna is being controlled by only by love, by Prabhupada's love. Okay? Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, sometimes people take initiation.
Yes.
Then afterwards they reject the Guru.
Reject the Guru?
Guru, yeah.
Yes.
How we?
Ungrateful. Ungrateful. Yeah, this is a serious apparatus to do that. If the Guru proves to be deviant, then you may have to go take shelter of another person. But not even then you should show disrespect. You should continue to show respect, but get shelter from another person. But to reject Guru, especially with no good reason, is a serious apparatus, and it shows that the person is totally ungrateful. Been given total, complete mercy, and then just spits in the face of the Guru. It is not decent behavior. Krishna may forgive it. The Guru may forgive it. But still, it's not a decent thing to do. It's a serious apparatus. Okay?
Okay, so stop. Thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.